Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors health care.
Welcome. Today I'm speaking with Shane Ellis. Shane is a lawyer, senior partner with SMSF Law. In Australia, we have a retirement saving scheme called superannuation, and we have a tax structure called self-managed super funds, or SMSF, and you'll be hearing a lot of this terminology in today's interview. So welcome, Shane.
Hi, Anne. It's good to be along.
Okay. And just to be clear, Shane is based at Robina on the Gold Coast. That's in Queensland, Australia.
That's quite correct. I spend most of my time on the eastern seaboard seeing clients, though, Anne, so it's a busy lifestyle.
And so what was your... Give us a bit of background about yourself to start off with, please, Shane.
Sure. I spend most of my time working in the self-managed superannuation sector, giving people advice in relation to self-managed superannuation structures. I build their self-managed super funds correctly for them. I do their self-managed super fund estate planning. I integrate that estate planning with the whole of estate planning for clients so that we cover off on all their private structures, any companies and family trusts they have. Make sure their life insurance outside of superannuation is going to their estate for them, and also cover off on the monies that are held in superannuation funds, and more particularly self-managed superannuation funds.
Right. That seems to keep you very busy.
It certainly does.
In Australia, I believe now in 1998, there was only 10% of all of the money that Australians had put away for superannuation were in these DIY, do-it-yourself super funds, but now that figure is, what, close to 30%?
It's a huge amount of money that's there. I suppose it's a misnomer using DIY super funds because a superannuation fund is never do-it-yourself. You always need a team of appropriate experts giving you support. Tax returns have to be in every year. Audits have to be orchestrated in relation to the fund. I think the best results you always get for your investment in retirement savings is by having good advisors supporting you. So quite often I read in the press and in the media about DIY funds. I really do think that's a big misnomer.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much for correcting me on that. So how many different types of structures are there?
Predominantly in relation to self-managed superannuation, everyone's self-managed super fund is governed by their deed. The superannuation industry supervision legislation, which governs superannuation, is what's called a regulatory act. So it says what you can't do rather than what you can do. And it's your super fund deed and documentation that allows you to open up what you want to do for your fund. So your super fund deed is a very, very important document that needs to be up to date at any given time. From there, we just integrate, as I said, with your other documents and your requirements, what you want to achieve in superannuation, but we've got to make sure that you comply with the laws. There's fairly strict consequences if you don't comply with the laws.
Right. So how important is it to get it right, and why is it important?
It's very, very important because from June of last year, or 1st of July of last year, or the preceding year, the ATO started its regulatory enforcement in relation to compliance with superannuation funds, and it has the ability to be able to levy penalties or fines directly if you don't comply. So the fines that are levied can be up to $10,800 per trustee. So if you've got mum and dad as trustee of their fund, that's $10,800 in penalties each, and that's got to be paid by them independently if they haven't complied with the law. So That's the maximum fine that they can levy, but then they can also get penalties put through from the courts if they wish to pursue the matter further. That's why we, when we build super funds, always have a company running the super fund on behalf of the members, mum and dad. Because in that instance, the company is the trustee and there'd only be one amount of fine that's levied. One company, one trustee, all right? Beyond that, if you've got real people in a self-managed super fund like mum and dad, if one of them was to pass away, you've got to have a minimum of two people running the fund. So someone else may have to come in to assist with the running of the fund, or at that stage you may have to introduce a corporate trustee, a company trustee. So that's why at the very beginning we build super funds with company trustees in them. What that means is that if mum passes away or dad passes away, you're permitted to operate a single director company in Australia so the super fund can continue to chug along with its one surviving member, be that mum or dad.
Thank you. Well, that's very important because a lot of us end up on our own sooner or later. And, yes, the less problems, the better for when that happens.
Absolutely, because all the investments of the self-managed super fund are required to be held in the trustee's name. So if you think about it, if mum and dad are trustees and one of them passes away, you've got to alter all the recording in relation to the holding of those investments for the self-managed super fund. But if you've got a self-managed super fund where the investments are being held in the company's name, if mum or dad pass away, the investments are continuing to be held in the company's name, even though you've only got one director at that stage. So there's little inconvenience for the surviving partner in those circumstances.
That's a very good tip, very important. Why and how often does the self-managed super fund need to be looked at or upgraded? Is that in your opinion?
It depends upon the changes of the law. So over the last number of years, there's been a lot of different changes of the laws in relation to self-managed superannuation. So basically, your advisor needs to see whether those laws impact upon you and your circumstances, and if so, then you may choose to have your deed upgraded. We, as a matter of course, will let our clients know via e-newsletters and information that goes out to them on a regular basis when these changes come through, and we offer to have an upgrade if they so desire. So, you know, sometimes insurance in self-managed superannuation gets altered, so we need to alter the deed and people may need to take that into consideration. There were fairly major changes in relation to the self-managed superannuation borrowing laws a number of years ago, so we upgraded our deeds to make sure that they were compliant then. There's court decisions that get handed down from time to time in relation to estate planning with self-managed superannuation. And again, we make sure that our deed complies with each of those different decisions to keep things squeaky clean. So as a matter of course, we don't just upgrade our deed, say, on a 12-monthly basis or anything of that nature. We only upgrade it when there's a need to do so, and that need to do so has been brought about by the laws and changes.
I see. And does it also cover all different types of investing, or is that, again, only as the law changes?
Your investments in relation to self-managed superannuation are governed by the laws, but they're very, very wide. So that's why people can invest in overseas shares and overseas investments. With self-managed superannuation, you can go to direct real estate. You can use borrowings in relation to a self-managed super fund to acquire assets. So all of these things need to be covered off in your self-managed super fund deed to permit you to undertake them. Beyond that, you need to have an investment strategy in place for your self-managed super fund, and the laws say that that needs to be updated on a regular basis, so regular in inverted commas. So it may mean that if you're a fairly sedentary type of investor and that with blue chip shares, you should give consideration to your investment strategy at least annually, probably at the time that you're looking at tax and the audit of the fund. If you're a more dynamic investor where there's changes that are undertaken on a regular basis, then your investment strategy may have to be updated more regularly than on an annual basis. Also, you need to give consideration to the need for life insurance or other insurances for the fund these days as well. So that usually is covered off at the same time that an investment strategies are being dealt with. And consideration basically means that you're giving thought to it. It doesn't mean that you have to undertake it. So if you go, okay, we've given consideration to the insurance needs of the fund, and we don't believe we need anything in relation to life insurance for you as a member, say, Anne, then you've complied with the laws then. You've given consideration to it.
And to show that I've given consideration to it, I would have to have a minute in my records about that, wouldn't I?
Yes, you do. You've also got to have the investment strategy in writing as well that's kept with the fund documentation. But one of the great things that you're alluding to there is that quite frequently you can't have not enough minutes or not enough paperwork in place. The more that you have documenting your decisions is better for you, and it creates greater clarity with your records as well. Those minutes need to be kept with the super fund records for quite a period of time in that as well. So if there's any argument at any stage, say from the ATO, that you haven't complied, at least you've got your minutes in place there to show that you've attended to what you need to do and why you've done something.
Have there been some disasters you want to tell us about?
There's been a lot of disasters and cases that have come to the fore over the last number of years. Don't forget, I suppose, at any time the media likes to write about things that are fairly dramatic. So, you know, there's millions of super funds that are in place and being dealt with throughout Australia. And, you know, there's quite often good press in relation to some of the horror stories that come to the fore. And a number of the horror stories over the last number of years are where people have been missing out in receiving estate money from the self-managed superannuation because they believe that their self-managed super fund is covered by their will, and it most certainly is not. So people have thought that their documentation with their will, their private estate, was going to cover their super fund estate, and the courts have decided on many occasions, time after time, that your private will does not cover your self-managed superannuation fund. Beyond that, there's been horror story cases where people haven't got the documentation right. So quite frequently, if you don't have the documentation right, it doesn't become binding upon the fund. And you know, in circumstances where you've got, say, a blended family or a contest between potential beneficiaries or recipients of the superannuation money, it'll boil down to the quality of the documents in relation to whether it can be relied upon or not. There was one decision in this last 12 months where a lawyer used the terminology that he was leaving it to the trustee of his legal estate instead of the legal personal representative of his estate. And the judge found in that particular case that there wasn't a trustee. The correct terminology is legal personal representative, and the documentation wasn't binding. So you need to have your documentation correctly prepared for you. And let's face it, Anne, these days, if superannuation isn't the number one household asset, it's quite frequently the number two household asset. So there's a lot of monies that are tied up in superannuation, and they should be given the proper respect, especially when you're considering the estate planning for your superannuation monies.
Right. So what happens to your money if your normal will doesn't cover it? Who decides?
You need to have your own documentation within the self-managed super fund. That will depend upon your self-managed super fund deed as to what needs to be prepared and the extent that you need to go to in relation to the documents. As I mentioned previously, each super fund deed is different. These days you can create binding nominations for your super fund, which need to be complied with by the surviving trustees upon your passing. And with modern procedures, you can actually create circumstances where those deeds may not lapse. So it means you put them in place and they can remain there indefinitely until such time as you pass away. The previous view under the law was that they're only going to last for a period of 3 years, but if your deed permits it, you can create a document now that will last indefinitely, and one that may only need to be or able to be changed by you at any time.
I see.
So I know I harp on certain things, but it really is the quality of your documentation that is so very important in relation to self-managed superannuation and self-managed superannuation estate planning.
I see. Okay. Thank you. And what would be some good tips for people that are looking at setting up their own self-managed super fund?
The number one tip would be to get the appropriate advice. If they want to, they can contact me by your good self, of course, and we're more than happy to provide some articles on a complimentary basis for your listeners to be able to read about what's required for the running of a self-managed super fund and what they should have in place. So that'll talk about such things as corporate trustees. There's other articles in relation to estate planning. There's articles in relation to conditions of release, all sorts of different things involving self-managed superannuation. But because of the way that the laws are, prevention is not only better than cure in the legal realm, it's also much cheaper. So whatever your listeners invest at this point in time to get good advice and get good documentation in place will save tenfold or possibly more at the time of their passing. If there's any form of dispute in relation to these monies, it can often run into tens of thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees on the dispute.
I see. I've heard before that nearly anyone can set up a self-managed super fund for you, so I gather that not all funds are set up the same.
Not all funds are set up the same, but also you're now limited under the laws as to who can give advice in relation to the setting up of a self-managed super fund. And you know, that's got to be a licensed person to be able to do that. So you might have seen in the press that the accountants have had to give consideration to whether they will become licensed to be able to be appropriate advisors for self-managed superannuation. Accountants in the past have had the ability to be able to do that, but that's now becoming more restricted. Quite frequently, you've got to be licensed to be able to get advice. As a lawyer, I've got a carve out where I can give that advice without being licensed because I'm permitted to do it as a licensed legal practitioner. But other than that, you should have a skilled financial planner to give you advice in relation to self-managed superannuation who is fully licensed to give advice in that area. Or if you're dealing with an accountant, then the accountant should be licensed to give that advice as well.
So what aids do we need to look after our self-managed super funds? I mean, how often should we be talking to our accountant, our lawyer, to make sure our investors, our investment advisors, to make sure that we're on track?
I recommend that our clients give consideration to the quality of their documents and where they're at with their investing at least annually. All right, so if you're overlapping with a good team of advisors, your accountant will be in touch with you annually because you need to have the tax returns for the super fund done annually. He will also likely touch base with you in relation to the auditing of the fund because a self-managed super fund needs to be audited annually. Your investment advisor will probably be in touch with you on a fairly regular basis if that's what you desire. And we, as a matter of course, with our clients, recommend that they give consideration to their current structuring, where they wish to head to, what their estate planning is like, and if there's any alterations that are needed to that estate planning, at least on an annual basis. So we say to our clients, look, when tax time comes around, sit down and give some thought to what you've got in place for your estate planning across the board and what you've got in place for your self-managed superannuation estate planning and see if there's any alterations that are needed. Beyond that, there might be intervening causes where a person loses their faculties or someone passes away, and that necessitates some action in relation to the self-managed super fund. We have busy lives these days, and there's a lot of events that take place, and some totally out of the blue. So we need to give consideration at least annually, unless there's an intervening event that requires us to come and have a chat before that time.
Okay, and what happens when the last person that owns the super fund passes on? Then what happens after that? So I suppose it goes back to your documentation.
That's quite correct. It does go back to the documentation. Self-managed super funds, especially with corporate trustees, can live indefinitely. So a self-managed super fund is actually a trust, but it doesn't have any lifespan in relation to some of the other trusts that exist at law. So you'll hear people talking about multi-generational self-managed super funds. So what that basically means is that mum and dad might have popped off, and from there one of the children might have taken over the fund and can keep it running. So if that's not the case and there's no surviving people at the time of mum and dad passing, it's then incumbent upon the people usually who are looking after the estate and or the next of kin to have the fund wound up, so that deals with any tax considerations, paying out of the superannuation death benefits, which is the members' benefits upon their passing. They're called death benefits, and once that's attended to, the fund can be fully wound up. Notification given to the licensing authorities, and the structure's finished with.
Okay, and the actual company itself, because the trust fund sits under the company, doesn't it? So are we talking about both entities?
Yes, you can wind both up. In some circumstances, you could use the company for other purposes if you chose to do that. Quite a lot of companies that run self-managed super funds have got a special book of rules called a constitution. So that constitution may have to be changed if you wanted to use the company for general investments or to run a business with or something like that. But in the circumstances, all those sorts of things can be discussed with your lawyer at the appropriate time.
Right, okay. Is there anything else you think my listeners should know about operating and owning a self-managed super fund?
I think the best thing, Anne, is that you're very proactive with the way that you do things, and you always have been over the period of time that we've known each other. I think that's a really good trait for your listeners to have, is that if they wish to be involved in self-managed superannuation, they should to a larger extent look towards educating themselves and getting along to some of the events that are run. I speak at the Morningstar events on an annual basis, the Morningstar Self-Managed Super Fund Trustee Days, which is a very large event. I speak at things like the Australian Investors Association national conferences and state conferences about superannuation and estate planning. I'm speaking on a special event for FIG later this month, FIIG, in relation to superannuation. So your listeners really need to educate themselves, but continue to educate themselves when they're wanting to deal in self-managed superannuation, because it is incumbent upon them that they are in control of their fund and their investments and they know what's going on. So as I said, you saw one of the very early things I said is that it's not do-it-yourself. All the things that we've discussed shows you that it's not do-it-yourself. It's about fully appraising yourself and then you having sovereignty of your affairs for investments, but working with the right advisors to get the best results for you.
Yes, well, we don't want to end up being fined by the tax office, that's for sure.
No, that's right, or prosecuted, or in the worst circumstances, if you don't comply with the superannuation laws, you can even be jailed.
Really? My goodness.
Yeah.
How would my listeners get in touch with you?
www.smsf-law.com.au. They're more than welcome to email me or ring me. The easiest address for contact email wise is solutions@ellislaw.com.au. Or any of the contact details are on the website that can be followed off for your listeners, Anne.
Thank you. So what else do you do?
What else do I do? I specialise in estate planning for people. So I build people's estates. I build their self-managed super funds. I build their self-managed super fund documents. I look after people with their business structures and focus heavily on asset protection. So we make sure that you get it, you keep it, and you can pass it on.
That sounds great. And will you be having, I believe at the Gold Coast this year, you had a special event on.
That's right. We ran, in addition to the events that I mentioned with some of the other large event providers, we actually ran a specialist self-managed super fund seminar in January of this year, which we'll look towards running again in January or early February of next year. We had some great speakers along there. We had Noel Whitaker. I spoke in relation to structures. We had specialist accountants. We had specialist advisors. We had people speaking about bonds and other form of investments. So It was all about investing and doing things properly for self-managed super funds.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It sounds like great advice that we've got to get it right and keep educated.
That's very, very correct. And I'm always here to help any of your listeners at any time, as you know.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.